We are on page 840. The last thing we learned was Mayim Chaim El Kel. If you remember, we learned Kohen Levi Yisrael, the Aliyah Sower, Vaisheni, Pasuk Yud Ches. Pasuk 18. Okay? So until now, the Torah basically said you need to have the Paraduma, the guy that did it is Tomei. You know, all the people involved are Tomei. Now the Torah speaks a little bit about the actual procedure. Okay? So the Pasuk says, V'lokach Ezeif, okay, Pasuk 18. A pure man shall take this grass, V'tovel b'mayim, and you dip it into the water, into the mayim chayim water, this natural water that has the ashes of the Parah Adum in it. V'hizal ha'el v'al kol ha'kelem, you sprinkle it on the tent and all the vessels. V'al ha'nefoshes ha'shor ha'yusham, and all the people that were in there. V'al ha'negeya, or anybody that touched. Be'etzame v'cholel, the bone or the dead person. Or be'meise be'cover, or the slain one, the dead person that died, or the grave. Okay? So basically, as the Torah says, you do like this. You have the natural spring water, what's called Mayim Chayim. You take the ashes of the Parah Aduma and you mix it into the water. Then the guy takes this grass, this hyssop thing, dips it into the water, squirts it on the person or on the house or on the kid, whatever became tummy that needs 7 days for the purification process. They get sprinkled with the ashes of the Parah Aduma.
Which grass is it? What kind of grass is it?
It's in English called hyssop, huh?
Kentucky bluegrass.
I don't know what it is. What?
Why do they distinguish between the person who was slain and the person who died? The person who was slain also died. I mean, but why do they draw that out?
What exactly is the term? I don't know.
Okay. It has to be dissolved
in the water. Well, ashes anyway gets mixed. I mean, take ashes put into water, it's going to get mixed anyway. Yeah, they mix it up a little bit.
So it's interesting, whether you sprinkle it on an object or on a
person, it doesn't matter. Because anything that became in contact with the dead body, as we learned before, even the objects in the house that is under the same roof, so you need 7 days. So those things also need the ashes of the Parah Aduma squirted on them.
I'm not saying the person becomes Tomei. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Even if you sprinkle it on an object.
Yeah, and the object, correct. Okay, then the Torah says like this. How often do you have to do this? Behiza hatorah ala tomei. The pure person sprinkles it on the non-pure person. Beyem ha-shlishi veyem ha-shvi. On the third day and the seventh day. And then he becomes pure on the seventh day. He has to put his clothes in the mikveh. And he puts himself in the mikveh. So in other words, the process is like this. A guy becomes tummy with a dead body. 7 days he's tummy. He doesn't go to mikveh for 7 days.
So how often do you squirt?
1 second. He gets squirted third day, seventh day. Okay. Afterwards, he goes to the mikveh, and he's tummy until the night. Because most of the tumas in the Torah about kayanim, truma, things at the base of mikdash, when you were tummy and you went to the mikveh, the Torah always says the tummy ad ha'erev. You still remain tummy until the evening. What?
So the guy goes to the mikvah on the
6th.
How often?
7th.
Okay.
No, it says v'chita b'yem ha'shvi v'chibes b'god v'rachatz b'mayim. On the 7th day. If the 7th day is Tuesday, he gets squirted Tuesday, the 7th day again, second time, he goes to the mikvah, and then Tuesday night he can go back into the mikvah.
Okay. Next Tuesday would make it 8 days. Monday.
Yeah, so
I didn't say Tuesday to Tuesday.
We start with Tuesday.
How about the dress?
One second.
Monday.
If a guy became Tomei on Tuesday, mm-hmm. let's say, so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. On Thursday, he gets squirted with the ashes of the Parah Aduma. Monday, he gets squirted with the ashes and the Parah Aduma. If he became Tomei Tuesday, right?
Right.
Monday would be the
seventh day.
Okay.
So he gets quartered in ashes Monday.
Night.
Right? Then it goes to the mikveh. And then Monday night, he can go back into the base
of
mikveh.
That's the sixth day.
That's the seventh day.
No, but not the sixth day.
No. And the sixth day, nothing is done.
Okay, I thought it was the third and the sixth.
No, third and the seventh, Tursus.
Okay.
Vayem HaShlishi, Vayem HaShvi.
All right, thank you.
What?
So how often this would happen?
That what?
That a person would become a Tamei.
Anybody that works in a mortuary.
But only to touch the body, a dead body? Or
or in the same roof as a dead body.
Just a dead body.
Right. And not... This is only for Tumas Mes. Not any other tumah, just tumas mes is a 7-day tumah with the ashes of the paradum on the third and the seventh. Then he goes, he takes his clothing into the mikveh, he puts his body into the mikveh, and that's it.
How about the clothes?
The clothes also says
they put in the mikveh or they
no v'rachos b'ma v'chibes begad v'rachos b'mayim. The Gemara learns it means mikveh.
They don't sprinkle.
Yeah, clothes. And the third and the seventh. But then he takes it to the mikveh.
So not just him, but everything
in the...
Correct. 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 Now, the house itself does not become tummy, because anything connected to the ground does not become tummy. So let's say if you have a dead body in a house, right? As soon as you take the dead body out of the house is not tummy anymore. It's only... The house itself does not become tummy because it's attached to the ground.
So if the body went out the front door and someone walked in the back door 2 seconds later, then...
If the dead body walked out the front door and another person got carried in the back door...
It's alive, they don't have to worry about it. You know?
No, you're right.
But literally,
technically, if the body is out, even a kohen could walk in a second later. Again, a house cannot become tamei because anything connected to the ground cannot become tamei. But the table in the room is tamei. The books in the room are tamei. This thing in the room, whatever it is.
You can walk in the room, but you're not allowed to touch anything.
Well, there would all be tamei.
So
correct. In other words, in biblical times, not nowadays, in biblical times, yeah, if there was a dead body in the room, I don't want to use this room, it's not, but in the room, okay? And then you take out the dead body, and a person walks into the room, he's not tummy. But this table became tummy from the dead body because it was under the same tent. So that person that comes in and puts his hand on the table, he then will become tummy, yes.
And he would have to go through the same process because
correct.
It was tummy or the same thing.
No. Only if it's metal. No.
Okay, so if he touched something that was metal, like a kiddush cup or something, that
then he would. That's exactly the cost. But if he touched wood, or he touched a book, he would not have to be, had need the red paradum.
He would still be tummy, he'd just have a different process.
You just go to the mikveh and to wait tonight. Okay.
Rabbeinu,
yeah.
So the Kohanim used to walk with the mixture to...
I mean, where did they? I mean, was it given out amongst all the cities?
Right.
Yeah, it says that they had paradume in the different cities.
Bedi,
I'm sure it was the bigger cities, whoever it was.
Bedi?
Because we learned before that the paradume was divided into three. The paradume ashes were divided into three.
Yeah.
Where did we say that before? I know we learned it last time.
Yeah.
It says one of them here. Because one pasuk says it was done l'mishmeres here. What does he call this? Coming from the Medrash. Okay? Sounds like this. They divided the ashes into three parts. One was on the Harazesim. One was divided to all the shifts of Kohanim. that every shift of a kohenim, wherever they were, would have one. And then they would keep one in the Beis HaMikdash for remembrance. So, seemingly, a person that became Tomei in Tel Aviv, let's say, if it existed then, they wouldn't have to go to Yerushalayim to get pure. They're able to do the process with a kohen in Tel Aviv.
But only if everybody would have to have the
Correct.
Not just for everyday use.
Well, in the old days where they had truma and they had korbanos and they had things, you know, so yeah, they would do it.
This is only for eating the korbanos.
Correct. And truma and going into the Beis HaMikdash. Correct. Yeah. That's why today, when we all don't have all that stuff, it doesn't matter.
You wouldn't want to shake
anybody's
hand.
Yeah, in the olden times, if a person was tummy, they had to tell people, I'm tummy, don't touch.
7 people can get tummy from
but
one
this
person.
Is really
1,000 million people can get.
If one person's tummy and they touch another person, and that person, it just keeps going on.
No.
How many?
Okay. We're going to have Tumah Course 101. But very bridged, because the laws are extremely, extremely complicated. In the levels of impurity, okay, a dead body is what's called Avi Avei Satuma, meaning the ultimate grandfather Tuma. That's a dead body. Then you have what's called an Av Hatuma, a father. Then you have, yeah, but it's not known, because Avi Aves is a unique thing, only a dead body. Okay? You have Avatuma, Rishain, Shani, Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi. Yeah. But it ends there. A person in a Kalim, a person and dishes, can only become Tamei from an Avatuma. I'm speaking now biblical, because the rabbis came along and added a bunch of things, which, again, is very complicated. So let's say, for argument's sake, now an avatuma, by the way, is not only somebody who touched a dead body. If the dead body is avi avesa tuma, the grandfather tuma, somebody who touches a dead body is an avatuma. But only an avatuma that touches a dead body needs the paraduma on the third and the seventh. Okay? But a person that has bodily impurities, for instance, a woman who's a Nida, Zava, a man who's a Zav, okay? A man, when the Torah says, has relations with his wife and gives out Shechva Zera seed, semen, he also becomes Tamei and Avatuma. Okay? These are all Avatumas. A dead bug is an Avatuma. The dead cat, not the Shmeina Shrotzim, the eight rodents that the Torah says are tummy. Then you have a dead carcass of an animal. All these things are avatuma. Now, a person and kalim can only become tummy from an avatuma. Okay? Which means, if I am bodily impure, and I shake your hand, you could become tummy for me. Okay? But if you shake another person's hand, that person will not become tummy. Because you are not an Av. I'm an Av. You're what's called a Rishon. The first. A person cannot become tummy from a Rishon. Adam and Kalim can only become tummy from an Av Hatuma. Okay? But, if I'm an Av Hatuma, and I touch you, you become a Rishon, correct? But if you touched food, that becomes a Sheni. If that food touches another food, it becomes a Shlishi. If that touches something else, it becomes a Ravi, and something else. But, by everyday food, it's called Chulin, it stops at Shlishi.
You're talking about food that wouldn't be served at the king's table?
No, it doesn't matter.
What do you mean by everyday?
Not truma.
Okay.
Not truma.
Okay.
Chula meaning everyday, not korbanis, not truma, Nothing like that, right? So if I touch, if I'm an avatuma, I touch you, you become tummy, you're a rishon, correct? If you touch food, that food becomes a sheni. If that food touches another food, it becomes a shlishi. But that's it. If that food will touch another food, nothing happens. If that fourth food is truma, I'm sorry. I take it back. I made a mistake. By chulin, it only goes to sheni. That's it. Truma goes to shlishi. Hegdish goes to revi. Ashes of paraduma goes to chamishi. Okay? That means by everyday food, after sheni, it can't become tameh. If it's truma, because of the sanctity of truma, the greatness of truma, it extends another level. That means if something which is sheni touches your apple, nothing is going to happen. But if it touches an apple of truma, that apple is going to become a revi.
Okay, so
one second. And if that apple, I mean the shlishi, if the shlishi will touch a hegdish, that hegdish will become tummy. And chamishi goes only for the ashes of paraduma.
That's biblical or nowadays?
Biblical. Oh. No, biblical applies today, but today it doesn't matter. We're all tummy anyway.
So when food becomes tuma, right, are there like rules about it has to be thrown out or only other people who are tuma can eat it or what?
Chulin, you are allowed to eat when you're tummy. The word tzaddikim, that they ate chulin al taras hakodesh. The Gemara says that they only ate chulin also only with the level of purity. So you understand? So, tumah goes, but, if there's one guy who's tummy, and he lines up 1,000 people to shake his hand, then all 1,000 people are going to become tummy.
First hand. Yeah.
But if I touch one, and one touches two, and two touches three, they're not going to become tummy.
Just the first one
is going to become tummy because he's touching an avatuma. But the second guy that's touching him, is not going to become tummy because it's not coming from the av. Adam and Caleb can only become tummy from an avatuma.
Now what's the difference? Why is... Going back to a little while ago, you said that if metal was in the room, the metal would all have been...
Does this stuff make sense? No, it doesn't matter. If a metal touches a dead body, it has the same din as a dead body.
But they don't give a reason why?
Torah doesn't give a reason for any of that stuff.
Okay,
weiter. Okay, so we're up to Chof. V'isha shel yitma v'lo yizchato. What happens if a guy will become tummy from a dead body and he won't purify himself? He'll just stay tummy. That person will die away. But it means, obviously...
Die away?
No. If he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, that's what I'm saying. He will have kodesh. He has Migdash Hashem Timei because he impurified the Beis HaMikdash of Hashem. Again, that the pasuk is not saying, if you don't get the paraduma, you're not going to have kodesh. It means, if you're tummy and you don't do the red heifer, even if you went to the mikveh, but you're still Tomei because you didn't have the paraduma on the third and the seventh day, and you go into the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan, or you eat a karbon, so then v'nichnasa nefesh shahi, then you get karis. Then you will get karis. What?
So the person who sprinkles the paraduma becomes Tomei. He needs to go to Mikdash, then he'll become
Tomei. Right.
Only by Mikdash.
That's it. Okay.
Does he have to wait until the evening?
Huh?
Does he have to wait until the evening?
Yes. Okay, so now... next page. V'haysala hem l'chukah selam. This should be an everlasting din forever. The one that sprinkles the blood... the water of the ashes becomes tamei. Nichabis begadi has to wash his clothing. Vanigeb may anida, whoever touches the main nida, this main nida over here means the ashes mixed with the water. Yitma the erev would be tamei until the evening. But one second, b'chol ashiiga b'yatame yitma, anything that comes in contaminated, that became contaminated, will touch something else, it would also become contaminated, like we said, because an av hatuma can make anything else tame. The nefesh and the gas and the soul that touches him shall become tummy until the evening. That means, if somebody touches a dead body, he needs to wait 7 days. Right? But if somebody touches that guy,
one day.
Only that day. Goes to the mikveh, waits until evening, and he's tahor. Okay? So again, the only one that comes, that needs the parah aduma is one that touches the dead body, think that we're in the same room with the dead body, and that's it. But if somebody touches somebody else, then they don't need 7 days.
They go to mikveh.
They go to mikveh and they're tummy until the evening.
What's the relation between the hash and water? What percentage be hash, what's water?
Doesn't say.
Doesn't say that?
No.
When a person was coming...
The ashes. What?
Have the regular life, go to the house, go to the... stay with his wife, everything is not...
You can train to know the formula.
These 7 days?
Yes.
Yeah. Except, the only difference is, it's not like a leper, tzaras, that you have to move out of the city.
Right.
The only difference is that if this person is tummy and he's going to touch somebody, that person is going to become tummy, that's all. And if that person will touch food, that food will become tummy. You know what I mean? It just...
So he cannot touch his wife then because wife is touching the food, so everything is tummy? So.
No, if he touches his wife, yeah, then she can make the food tummy, yeah. But again, it really doesn't matter because they can eat the food when they're tummy. Who cares? It's not truma. It's not a karbonis. Uh-huh. If it's not truma, it's not karbonis. Then it's not a problem. But like we said, in the olden days, if you look in the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch, okay, when a woman, during the time she was Nida, a woman wore clothing that basically announced to the world she's a Nida. In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, nowadays we don't do it, obviously. But in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, the Gemara, you guys are living in the world of the temple. But in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, a woman that was Nida wore special clothing that her friend should know not to touch her and that person shouldn't touch her because then they would become Tamei. That's it.
And Nazi too wore a special
Tamei? Huh?
Nazi wore a special
no. You have to be careful. Here you're thinking everybody else has to be careful.
Why didn't we keep that?
No, today we don't keep it. It's not sneeze. It's not. You don't.
Now
huh?
Now it's the opposite. You try not to.
Right, that's some thing. Nowadays, on the contrary, we don't. Because the only concept of nida that exists today is for marital relations. And that's the concept of sneeze. You don't publicize when you do and when you're not doing it. So, you know, people don't, we live in Nebuchadnezzar time that a woman goes to mikvah, all her friends know she's going to the mikvah. I mean, that's so anti-hashkafa, anti-halacha, anti-everything, you know. The only one that's supposed to know she's going to the mikvah is the husband. Obviously the mikvah ladies, but the only one that's supposed to know she's going to the mikvah. Not her mother, not her father, not her baba, not her grandma, not her mother-in-law, aunt-in-law, dog-in-law. That's for you. Nobody's supposed to know what it is. No, but in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, people had to know. People had to know because you had to stay away. Okay, let's go back to okay. But Parakhov. Bayavel b'nei Yisrael kol ha'edam midbar Tzin. The whole community came to the midbar, the desert of Tzin. Bachaydesh Adishin in the first month, meaning Nisan. Vayeshivam Bekadesh, the people settled in the city of Kadesh. Vatamasham Miriam died, Vatikavershav. Now, this is a whole interesting concept of what's going on over here. Parah Aduma, this is right next, Torah speaks about Parah Aduma, then it says about Miriam's passing. Historically, this is 40 years apart. Why? The Parah Adumah was said Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the next year when the Jews left Egypt. The Jews left Pesach, right? Mm-hmm. The next, that's 15th of Nissan. Mm-hmm. The next, almost a year. Rosh Chodesh Nissan, Bayeim Hashmini, the 8th day, that is when Hashem said the mitzvah Parah Adumah.
1 year.
1 year after the Jews left Egypt.
That's Mary, the very first one, right?
They went out the 15th of Nisan. So it was a whole year later, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Hashem told them the law of the Paradum. Ten portions of Torah were said that day. Okay? So Paradum was said that day. Miriam passed away in the 40th year. Moshe Rabbeinu died in the 40th year, Aaron died in the 40th year, and Miriam died in the 40th year. The first one to pass away was Miriam. Okay? Now, Miriam, and that's why it says, Vayavol kol ha'eda. Rashi says, what do you mean, kol ha'eda? So Rashi says, Eda shleima, all the people that needed to die in the desert, all the 40 years, they all died. So now we're talking to a new generation. This is the generation going into Eretz Yisrael. 40 years, or 39 years after the mitzvah Parah Adumah. So Chazal say, what's the connection between Parah Adumah and the death of Miriam? Okay? So they answer to teach us that just like Parah Adumah gives kapara, the death of Tzadikim gives kapara. That's the connection between the two. So Rashi says, one second, Rashi says, but there's an interesting Ramban over here, but Rashi says, Lama Nismacha Mises Miriam Leparshas Ad Parah Adumah. What's the connection between Miriam's passing and Parah Adumah? Leimelach, this is what Rashi says. Makar Bonis Mechaprim, just like a carbon, Parah Adumah is a carbon, forgives, gives kapara, the same thing, Mises Tzadikim Mechaperes. The death of Tzadikim also forgive. This is what Rashi says. So the Ramban over here elaborated a very, very long Ramban over here.
You mean the whole Jewish nation was forgiven by death of Miriam?
Yes. Okay, so he brings down what happened over here? What's going on over here? I saw the Ramban before. One second. Oh, here it is. Okay. Okay, it's the Klei Yoker. I'm saying not the Ramban. The Ramban is saying something else. Okay, the Klei Yoker says like this. What's the connection between Mises Miriam and the Parah Adumah? So he says like this. Why up is Parah Adumah? Put it next to the Parsha of Korbanis in Vayikro. It speaks about Korbanis. Put it there. Right? Why is it that the Torah is saying that the death of Miriam is next to Parah Adumah? Because just like Kabbalists forgive, the same thing the death of Tzaddik can forgive. So what's the difference? So Kalyaki says like this, because Parah Adumah, we said before, why did the Hashem say to take a Parah Adumah? Let the mother come and clean up the mess of the babies. The eagle, right? So let the mother come and clean up the mess. So he says, the Tzaddikis, Ein Kol Chai, when they die, okay, they also clean up the mess of their kids. And he says like this, because tzaddikim do four things into the world. This is what the Klei Yakir says. One is that the whole world supports themselves because of the tzaddik of the generation. Like it says, the whole world is living in the merit of Rechanina Bini. The Gemara says, Rechanina Ben Daisa, the miracle worker, Rechanina Ben Daisa, was the tzaddik of his generation. And the Gemara says, he was so poor, he lived on a little bit of boxer, carob, from week to week. So it says, the Gemara says the expression, Kol ha'aylam, nizaynim b'schus Chanina b'ni, the whole world exists because of Chanina, and look at Chanina Nabuch lives on. He's broke, he has nothing. So it says that tzaddikim give the merit for the old generation. The second thing, tzaddikim teach the people how to serve Hashem properly, that they should live correctly. The third thing is, they protect, just like a garment protects you from the cold and the hot, and so the tzaddikim protect you. And the fourth thing is that they forgive the Jewish people when they die. When the neshama, the tzaddik dies, his death forgives all the... So the Klei Yakir is explaining like this. So you have the four things tzaddikim give. So just like they clean up the mess of the Jewish people, he explains that's why it's next to Parah Adumah. Because Parah Adumah cleans up the mess of the ego, the mis of tzaddikim forgives for the avedus of the Jewish people. Okay.
For the future or for...
For the past.
Past?
Yeah. Now, Miriam passed away and she was buried there. When did Miriam pass away? Yud Nissen. Just to get the date straight. When the Jews left Egypt, Nissen was the first month. Okay? So the year went from Nissen to Nissen. Okay? In the 40th year, all three tzaddikim died. Miriam died first. Then we're going to learn Aaron passed away. And at the end of Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu passes away. Miriam passed away Yud Nissen. In that year, the last year. Aaron passed away Rosh Chodesh Av. The Torah is going to say later. And Moshe Rabbeinu passed away Zayin Adar. So Miriam died in the first month of the 40th year. Aaron died in the fifth month. And Moshe Rabbeinu died in the 12th month of the last year. Now, as we're soon going to learn in much greater discussion, and I don't know if we're going to finish it tonight, probably not, but the Jews had three things going for them in the Midbar. They had the Mon, they had the well, and they had the Anani HaKavod, the clouds of glory. These were basically the three necessities of the Jewish people that were taken care of. Number one, the Mon was the food, okay? Together with the Mon, it says gold and diamonds and everything fell down from heaven together with the Mon, the Medrash says. So the Mon was the food. The well was water to drink. And the Medrash says another interesting thing. That was the mikveh for the Bnei Yisrael. People were telling me in the desert, women, people were telling me they had to go to the mikveh. Where was the mikveh in the desert? So it said the mikveh was the well of Miriam. And in fact, the well, it says, started from the Mishkan and it spread it out to the camps of all 12 tribes. Because what did they do? They wanted a drink of water. They didn't come to the Mishkan to take a drink. The Jewish camp was 2,000 Amis, 24,000 Amis, was about 45,000 feet. 45,000. The Jewish camp in the Midbar took up 12 mil by 12 mil. Okay, they were square, right? Because they had the camp like square. So there is, the Jewish camp, the Gemara says, took up 12 mil by 12 mil. A mil is 2,000 amas. Okay? So 12 mil is 24,000 amas. An am is between a foot and a half and 2 feet. Okay? So just figure in feet, the Jewish camp took up 40,000 feet by 40,000 feet, approximately. Okay? It was pretty big. It was like 6.5 miles by 6.5 miles. So big the camp was. Now, obviously, if somebody needed a drink, they didn't go 6 miles to take a drink. Because trust me, by the time they got back, they needed more water. So it says the well actually went spread out all over the place. And that's what they used for the mikveh. That's what they used as drinking water. That's what everything was used. So the man was the food. The well was the water. Mm-hmm. And the nani akovid, the clouds, that took care of their, first of all, shaded them from the sun. You know, they had built-in air conditioning. And that made the clothes, that washed the clothes, dried the clothes, stretched the clothes. It says at night the Jewish people would hang their clothes outside the tents. They came back in the morning, freshly laundered, pressed, and grew. For the kids it grew this way, for the adults it grew this way. Whatever way they grew, the clothes would grow together with the people. So these were the three necessities in the Midbar. So the Medrash says, Rashi brings it down, different places, the man was in the merit of Moshe. The clouds were in the merit of Aaron. And the water was in the merit of Miriam. Now Miriam died.
Water stopped.
So the water stopped. No more Miriam, no more water. So that's why the Jewish people are going to come complaining to Moshe, but we have nothing to drink. What does it have to do? Like the next person is going to say, I'm later. But before we get into that, so Miriam died, so they had no water. So what do Jews do when you don't get what you want? You start complaining. So they complained to Moshe Rabbeinu. And that was when he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock, the whole story that took place. But the explanation is like this. Why is it that the well tacker was in the Why was Taka the well? And it's a very interesting thing. Each one, the man is connected to Moshe Rabbeinu, the clouds are connected to Aaron HaKohen, and the water is connected to Miriam. When Miriam died and Aaron died, it all came back in the merit of Moshe. Granted, he hit the rock instead of speaking, but it all came back in because of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, what's the connection between Miriam and water? Okay, so first the Mefarshim explained a number of very interesting things. Miriam by Moshe Rabbeinu waited by the water. She waited by the water to see what's going to be when Moshe Rabbeinu was put into the Nile. So
30 days?
Huh?
30 days?
No, it's a week. It was a week.
Now, over her loss.
One second. Savlunut. I don't know how to say that in French, but whatever.
Patience,
okay. Now, why, also, what's the, Miriam is, represents the Jewish woman, right? To the water, so it says, what is one of the main functions of water? One of the main functions of water is to take the food that you eat and to spread it out that it should go to the proper places. Like this, it gets stuck in one place. The water makes it go out. So the Rebbe explains like this. The water within the bloodstream carries the nutrients to all parts of the body. This represents the mission of the Jewish women. To bring the well of living Torah to nourish all segments of the Jewish people, even those who totally lack knowledge in it. Therefore, what did Miriam do in Shifrim Pua? Miriam was Pua. So Rashi says, because she used to talk to the kids. Why was she called Pua? Pua means to talk. Why was Miriam called Pua? Because Miriam would talk to the Jewish children. She was the educator of the Jewish children, which is the future of the Bnei Yisrael, to make sure they have all the aspects of Yiddishkeit that they need. Therefore, the well came. Now, when a mother, sister, teacher educates a child, well, this is the modern-day living waters of Miriam, sustaining the Jewish people. Now, Miriam also represents the mikveh, family purity, which is up to the woman. That was, like we said, Be'er Shel Miriam was also the mikveh. And in fact, it says in Shulchan Aruch, even though it's not our custom, it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's a very strange thing. It says in Shulchan Aruch that there's a custom that on Saturday night, you draw water from a well and you drink it. It's put on the Shulchan Aruch. Why? So it says like this. A Matzoy Shabbos, Miriam's well travels underneath the ground and goes through every single well. It just travels around the world every Saturday night. If you happen to draw water from the well when Miriam's well is there, what does it say, the expression? It says, healthy week in both spiritual and physical terms. It says in Shulchan Aruch, it's a very good thing. We don't do it lapel, but there is such a minhag brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Even Alter Rebbe brings it down in Shulchan Aruch, that this is a custom to do.
Not anymore.
Huh? Sure. He says, Yeshnoi, again, and the Rebbe brings out what it's not a custom to do, but there is such a concept.
Is it okay? The water of the tub is okay.
There are people today I know that take a cold cup of water Saturday night. Maybe it's with Miriam's well. They're going into the.
Is it like for warm water from the kumkum to drink it, or so? It's really
that's chamed. It's a different thing. Anyway, so this is the connection to Miriam with the well, and that's when she died, the well stopped. Okay, so what does the pasuk say? Okay, so v'lahoyim mayim la'eda, there was no water for the community to drink. Vayikalu al Moshe v'Aaron. So of course they come to gather to Moshe and Aaron. Vayarav ha'am in Moshe, but they started fighting with Moshe. It's interesting. They come to Moshe and Aaron, but who do they fight with? Moshe. V'yerem ulema, they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, v'lu gavanu, if you would only die, if you would only die in a plague, if we only died in the plague of our brothers, you know, before all the stories that the people died, why? So Rashi says from here you learn that the worst type of death is from thirst. And the worst type of death is the death of thirst. No. That you have nothing to drink is the worst. Because they said, if you would only die in a plague, it would even be better. Now, it's interesting. It says by Moshe Rabbeinu al pi Hashem, and by Aaron it says al pi Hashem. By Miriam, it doesn't say that she died al pi Hashem. It says Vatam Hashem Miriam.
Uh-huh.
Miriam died. It doesn't say by Aaron, and later on Parshas Chukas, it says here. Okay, Byron also doesn't say Al Pi Hashem, but it says that Aaron died because it says Kashem Meis Aaron Achicham. Anyway, by Aaron and Mesh it says that they died b'neshika. That God kissed the neshama, and the neshama left the body. Mm-hmm. By Miriam it doesn't say it. So Rashi says in the Medrash, afi b'neshika mesa. So why doesn't it say al pi Hashem? Because it's not that COVID that Hashem should kiss the woman.
Hashem is man?
How many times did I have to tell you? Hashem is a white male Ashkenazi. So he's that nice that he kissed a woman. Now, just to explain this a little bit. Hashem kissed in the... What does that mean? Hashem kissed in the... come on. What does it mean he kissed in the Shema? Hashem has a mouth and mwah, mwah, he kissed. First, where did he kiss? Where did he kiss? What does it mean? I mean, just understand a little bit that it doesn't mean that God went like that and it happened. So the Chassidus explains like this. What it really means is Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam's neshamas didn't want to leave the body. I mean, look how great they were. In this world, they were such holy tzaddikim, great tzaddikim. The neshamas didn't want to leave. They were accomplishing so much in this world, the neshamas didn't want to leave. How, so to speak, how did Hashem get the neshama to leave? By revealing a tremendous amount of godliness that they couldn't get in the body. In the body, they had a tremendous amount of godliness. So they said, why should I leave? I got here. So Hashem, so to speak, revealed such a great level of godliness that the neshama left the body. What's the concept of a kiss? A kiss is an expression of a deep feeling of love. I don't mean today, everybody, you know. We're talking about a real kiss. Not that. Everybody goes around kissing everybody. Huh? It's meaningless.
The Orthodox way.
Kosher, huh?
No, I'm saying that the concept of a neshika is, especially the concept like it says, pel, pel. Okay? Listen, Shlomo HaMelech speaks about in Shir Hashim, Yishakenim in Neshikas Pihu, there is the mouth, there's a mouth-to-mouth kiss, which is a deeper level of a revelation of the essential love that one person has to the next, right? So that level is what it means, Al-Pi Hashem. Mm-hmm. Hashem revealed them to such an extent. In fact, they tell the same story, we'll leave it with this. There are many tzaddikim, it goes through a lot of names of different tzaddikim, that before they died, they swore that they're not going to go, they're going to refuse to go into Gan Eden until Hashem brings a Mashiach. They're going to go on strike, and they're not going to go to Gan Eden until Hashem brings Mashiach. Lepel, they all died, and Mashiach's not here. So they tell about the various different tzaddikim. One tzaddik, Hashem threw him an Amen Yehishmei Rabba. He threw him a little Gan Eden. And he got so excited, he forgot, then he jumped it, he went to Gan Eden. You know what I mean? Hashem threw him, in Yiddish there's an expression, like you throw a dog a bone, you know, to get him going. So the same thing over here, Al-Pi Hashem means that Hashem revealed such a level of Kedusha to Moshe and Aaron. Because when Aaron died, like that Moshe Rabbeinu said, I want to die like Aaron died. And that's Hashem promised Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die like Aaron died. But by Miriam, the Torah doesn't want to use the expression Al-Pi Hashem, that Hashem, because it's not, because Rashi says, Ein derech kovid shel maila.
So how Miriam died?
Huh?
The same
way everybody else dies. Neshama leaves the body.
This is contradictory.
No, but Rashi says, Afi b'neshika mesa. The Medrash says, Miriam also died b'neshika. But it just, the Torah doesn't say it. By Aaron it says it, in Parshas Masai. Not when actually, when Aaron actually died. At the end of Chumash Bamidbar, when it goes through the journeys of the Jews, in the 42 journeys, so it says, when it speaks about the death of Aaron, here. Vayal Aaron HaKohen Lahor Al-Pi Hashem. So it says he also died Al-Pi Hashem. So that was a difference, but this is, okay, we're going to, this is a very interesting story with this stuff.